New England Patriots coverage on CLNSradio.com.
Fires and completes it to Gronkowski. Touchdown!
We want to hear from you, so call in right now. The phone lines are open. 929-477-2386.
What's going on, Pats Nation? This is the CLNS Radio New England Patriots postgame show brought to you by FanDuel. Join the CLNS Radio FanDuel League and compete amongst the hosts and the rest of the CLNS Radio family and fans at FanDuel.com/Patriots. We just got done with Houston versus the New England Patriots. New England Patriots 27, Texans 0, zilch, donuts. I am your host, Marvin Izzon. I got my co-host with me, Mr. Mike Nice.
Yes, sir. What's going on, Pats Nation? What a game, DJ Mees. What a game. And I, in all honesty, I'm sickened and saddened by what I just watched. I'm in total disbelief. I can't believe how this game unfolded with the Patriots shutting out the Houston Texans 27-0 at Gillette Stadium. Man, oh man, is there a lot to dissect from this game.
And we definitely are going to dissect it, and we want to hear a lot from you guys. So the Blue Apron call lines are open. Call in at 929-477-2386, 929-477-2386. And we also got our guy, Michael Laundrie, working the switchboards. Mike, what did you see in this game?
Well, guys, you know, really, the thing that stood out to me, once again, LeGarrette Blount was huge tonight, rushing the ball, second game in a row with 100-plus rushing yards. That's obviously huge. Everyone kind of knew that the Patriots were going to have to run the football today, obviously young rookie quarterback, everything like that. So running the football was crucial. LeGarrette Blount came through, especially that big run at the end there to really seal the game. And I was impressed with Jacoby Brissett. I thought he played pretty well today. Considering everything, you know, we saw his mobility and things like that. But, guys, I mean, the number one thing was obviously the defense. 27-0 shutout. I mean, come on now. That was just – Houston had literally no chance in this game because of how well the Patriots defense played tonight.
The defense was amazing. You mentioned Jacoby Brissett. He went 11-for-19, 103 yards, no touchdowns, but no interceptions. But he also ran 8 times for 48 yards and had himself a rushing touchdown. LeGarrette Blount, 24 carries, 105 yards, 2 touchdowns. And it was a great game for the Patriots offensively. And you said defensively they were great. They limited Brock Osweiler. Well, he went 24-for-41, 196 yards. 0 touchdowns, 1 interception. Lamar Miller had 22 carries, 84 yards only. And, man, I tell you, it was just an old-fashioned butt-whooping.
Yeah, I tell you, man, this game was sad. And if I was a fan of the Houston Texans and you were to tell me, you know, several days ago that the Patriots are going into this game playing their third-string quarterback. Maybe it's because I've been a Patriots fan for a long time now, and I'm just so used to winning and the success and everything that comes along with the New England Patriots that, you know, I hear a game like this. If I hear the Patriots are going up against a team's third-string quarterback, I'll bet my life savings that it's a win. Easy. Easy. No questions asked. Patriots are beaten. You're going to put a third-string quarterback up against the Patriots? That's, like my man Shaquille O'Neal says, barbecue chicken. And then here come the Houston Texans. They know that Jacoby Brissett is playing. Not Tom Brady, the guy that's been beating you behind the last couple of years. Not Jimmy Garoppolo, who's been on the field the last 2 games and has been solid. You know, he's out with an injury. You get Jacoby Brissett, a rookie quarterback, starting the game for the New England Patriots. And as a Houston Texans fan, you're thinking, okay, they're throwing that guy out there. Let's get this W. Let's get this win. And you come to Gillette Stadium, and not only do you lose the game, but you can't even put a single point on the board. Hey, Okay, maybe a touchdown for the Texans is too much to ask for. I'm sorry. Maybe you suck that bad. But you can't even get a field goal and 3 points on the board? Just like I heard on ESPN this morning, I forgot who said it, but Texans, don't even take the plane back to Houston. See if Patriots place is hiring at the movie theater or the bars or something there. Just see if y'all can get a job or something. Y'all don't deserve to play no more after this game.
Yeah, and another point, we're speaking how bad the offense of the Houston Texans look. Their defense looked pretty bad, too. I mean, Jacoby Brissett only got sacked once. And that was his fault, honestly, when you watch the game. You have a team where you see Wilfork, Jadeveon Clowney, the Holy Grail, J.J. Watt, and they barely got a hold of Jacoby Brissett.
Hey, man, I tell you this. Don't even get me started on J.J. Watt. Man, listen. J.J. Watt, the high and mighty J.J. Watt. I always hear about this guy all the time. Defensive player of the year. Oh, he's a beast back there. He wreaks havoc on the defensive end. He's getting to the quarterbacks. He's making big plays. I hear about this all the time. This man's face is everywhere. Everywhere. ESPN, he's everywhere. And how come every time he faces New England, J.J. Watt doesn't do a damn thing? He is a non-factor. And it's happened in the past, and you lead all the way up to today against Jacoby Brissett and the New England Patriots. J.J. Watt was a non-factor. High and mighty. You know what I say to J.J. Watt? That's what I think of J.J. Watt.
This is a three-time defensive player of the year, Mike? Show some respect.
I ain't putting no respect on J.J. Watt's name. Get out of here with that. Didn't do nothing. This guy didn't impact the game at all. You said Brissett got sacked, what, two times? I tell you what, I bet
one
you
time,
needed
one
a
time.
One time? I bet you wasn't J.J. Watt who touched him. J.J. Watt didn't do nothing.
We're definitely going to get on. We're going to speak more on J.J. Watt and that defense. But right now we have our guy, Nick from Tampa, who wants to speak on this 27-0 blowout. What's going on, Nick?
Hey, how y'all doing? Yeah, this Nick from the Celtics postgame shows. Work closely with Nick Gelso, Sean Backey, and Pat Gilroy and all the rest, Bobby Manning on the Celtics postgame shows. So not quite a regular caller on the Patriots shows, but, you know, I put in work for the Celtics. So great win tonight, though.
Great win. What were your thoughts on the game? What did you see tonight from the Patriots that you really liked?
Well, first of all, my man, LeGarrette Blount. I followed him since college when he was there playing with the Ducks, or should I say not playing much, because I remember that one game, the Boise State, the Broncos or something, Boise State beat them, I think, the first game, the second game of the season. Oregon was slated to, you know, go off and win the championship or something like that, big expectations. And they lost the game to Boise State, and LeGarrette Blount had the infamous Blount punch, as I like to call it, knocked out one of the players that was trying to get a little bit sassy after the win, you know, being a bad sport, and he got the bad end of the LeGarrette Blount punch. But I live here in Tampa. I'm originally from New Bedford, so I'm from Massachusetts, but I've been here in the Tampa Bay area for a while.
Represent
New Berries. But
let's go.
Definitely. But I've been watching LeGarrette Blount since the Tampa Bay days. I was, you know, sad to see him leave Tampa Bay. I think he went to the Titans after that or something. I kind of lost track of him. And when I heard the Patriots picked him up, I was like, definitely, this is a great addition. If anybody can get the best out of LeGarrette Blount, it's Bill Belichick. And the thing about it is, I saw a lot of fans before this season, especially with Deion Lewis's injury last year, and how it didn't look like he was going to be able to come back for the beginning of this season, maybe not even until about halfway through the season. And you can never tell how a player is going to be when they miss all of, you know, training camp and, you know, all in preseason and everything else, to how they're going to, you know, be when they finally get in the game. So a lot of Patriot fans kind of, Blunt's not enough, kind of poo-pooing LeGarrette Blount. And I think you see what you get with LeGarrette Blount. He's been one of the most efficient runners this year. The season is still, you know, relatively early. We're not even a quarter of the way through, maybe about a fifth of the way through or so. But he's an efficient runner. He has some of those runs where he gets, you know, stopped at the line of scrimmage. But every, you know, for every, you know, one or two or three of those, you know, 1 or 2 or 3 yard carries, he ends up either switching fields or breaking a tackle or trucking somebody and then getting an extremely long run, like we saw tonight in the fourth quarter, to break the game open. He's just a workhorse, and he punishes people. You don't want to tackle LeGarrette Blount, because when you see him coming, especially when he has a head full of steam, and he gets into the second level, those safeties, and definitely not the corners, they don't want to tackle that man, because he is huge and he puts a punishment on you. So love LeGarrette Blount. A few hot takes. Brock Osweiler, I think we see that, you know, despite the 2-0 start, you know, as being, you know, the official starting quarterback, regardless of, you know, not being in Peyton Manning's shadow anymore, you can see that it was really the Denver Broncos defense. And, I mean, we saw that last year, that when they won the Super Bowl, that it really, Peyton Manning was throwing ducks the entire season practically.
Yep.
It was that defense that held them together, and Brock Osweiler just kind of rode that, you know, that wave for a little while. And we can see tonight that Brock Osweiler really wasn't nothing, which brings me to Jamie Collins. Boy, Jamie Collins got to be – I think he's in the running right now for Defensive Player of the Year, and I think he should have been maybe last year, because he is the most versatile, I would say, in my opinion, and I think, you know, I consider my opinion in pretty high regard because it's my opinion. But Jamie Collins – I remember him from, again, Patriots fans didn't know who he was. He was kind of just, you know, one of the smaller schools. He wasn't from a Power 5 or former BCS conference teams. He was from Southern Miss. I graduated from the University of South Florida. We had a few games against what we like to call Southern Piss, part of my French. But he was a great player at Southern Miss. He played strong safety. He played linebacker. He played down defensive end. He can play almost any position on the defensive end of the field. And we saw that tonight, that he got an interception, and he almost got another one later on in the game. Jamie Collins, mark it down. If he's not in the running for Defensive Player of the Year, something is wrong with this league, because he is that kind of freak athlete that has the speed to cover wide receivers, cover tight ends, cover, you know, running backs coming out the backfield, but also has the toughness to stop the run. Incredible player. Those are the three things, the keys for me. And, of course, Jacoby Brissett. Awesome, awesome. I mean, game manager. And I said before the game, I said, he's not going to get you know, a lot of those throws. They're going to have to, you know, obviously he didn't have on a short week, wasn't expected for him to play, that they were going to have to, you know, kind of shorten up the playbook for him. But he made plays with his legs, and that's what I said. I said, his legs are going to keep them alive. I just didn't know that it was going to be this big of a blowout, but the legs kept him alive, and the defense kept him in it, and it was just a complete domination from beginning to end. J.J. Watt, who... Where was he this game? He was in Jadeveon Clowney. Who? Where was he this game? There wasn't that vaunted defensive line wasn't there.
I tell you, man,
that's a lot of points you just brought up and that we're going to touch on. Thank you very much, Nick, calling from Tampa,
no,
representing New B.
Yes, sir.
For sure.
Yes, Mike, he touched up on a lot. One person we got to speak on is LeGarrette Blount, and I have to admit it, man. He's been making me look like a fool as of late. This is a guy, during our preseason show, I was saying how I didn't believe he was even going to make the team, because I saw how he ended off the year last year. I saw how he's running in the preseason, and I was sick of it. I can admit it, Pass Nation. Wasn't a big fan of LeGarrette Blount. Still not a huge fan. I don't agree with most of the play calling I see with Josh McDaniel uses him rushing up the middle, and he only gets that 1 yard. That still drives me crazy at times. But then, you know, weakens up the defense, and then he can go off for a 41-yard run. And, hey, numbers don't lie. Statistically, Blount's like a top 5, top 10 running back right now, statistically, because as the way he's playing against the Cardinals, against Dolphins, and now against Texans, all great defenses. Blunt's been showing up big time.
Here's what I say about LeGarrette Blount. Me personally, like you said, a lot of the times when it comes to the play calling and him on the field, I don't like when they use him, and sometimes I just don't like how he runs. But something that Nick, our last caller, just said, what I really like is if LeGarrette Blount was not on the New England Patriots right now, I honestly feel like he'd be with Lawrence Maroney somewhere bagging groceries. Or
wow.
Cadillac Williams somewhere washing
so
cars.
So disrespectful.
LeGarrette Blount, honestly, if he wasn't on the Patriots, where was he last? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Come on. Pittsburgh or Tampa Bay, either team. You think LeGarrette Blount would be over there having any impact right now? Absolutely not. If LeGarrette Blount was not on the New England Patriots, he would be doing a near, not a nothing. And just like Nick said, our last caller, him coming to the Patriots, you would, I guess it makes sense. I didn't follow LeGarrette Blount too much in college and whatnot. Obviously, I heard his name because, like, the famous the Blount Punch or whatever the case may be, his name got popular because of that. But other than that, I couldn't tell you much about this guy in college. I didn't follow him. But I could tell you this, and I agree with Nick 100%. Him being on the Patriots is the best thing that could have happened to his career because the Patriots, this is the most run LeGarrette Blount would see in the NFL. I tell you. He would not be doing this anywhere else. So I give him credit. Why question Blount? I really did coming into this game. I questioned Blount. Could he duplicate the same performance that he had last week against the Dolphins? And, hey, he came out this game. 20-plus carries, over 100 yards, 4.4 yards a carry. That's what I like to see from my man LeGarrette Blount. And two touchdowns. I can't be mad about that. One of the touchdowns that he got, the first touchdown that he got, is exactly where I feel like LeGarrette Blount needs to be used. Goal line, punch it in. And that's what he did. I mean, luckily, he came along with that next 41-yard touchdown run. You know, sometimes, you know, running backs get breakout for those, and it was a situation where LeGarrette Blount, he got free and was able to get that touchdown. But I give the man credit. You know, we are two guys, DJ Mees, that harp on LeGarrette Blount and hate how he's used and what he does sometimes on the field. But the man had back-to-back great performances, and you can't be mad at that at all.
Score of the game, New England Patriots 27, Houston Texans 0, Donut. Jacoby Brissett gets his first start. This is our third-string quarterback, gets his first start, and wins in a blowout. How sweet it is, man. And another thing that Nick brought up was our guy, Jamie Collins. He predicted that Collins could even be a Defensive Player of the Year candidate, and that's something I said on this show during our preseason, that I believe Jamie Collins will be a Defensive of the Year candidate, and he's been showing it the past three games. The guy is just on every, especially this week, tonight, he just seemed like he was everywhere, Mike, in the tackles against the receivers, the running back, getting interceptions, almost got another interception like Nick pointed out. He is just everywhere on the field. Anywhere you need him, he is there. And this is without Hightower, his right-hand man, with him. Collins is just a freak and a monster.
Yeah.
His versatility is crazy.
Yeah, man. You talk about being every man. The man had 14 total tackles, 8 solo tackles. 14 total tackles, 8 solo tackles. And then on top of that, interception to add in. The man was all over the field. He got in on pretty much all plays. Jamie Collins is a force to be reckoned with. If people don't know about this man, Jamie Collins now, they have to start taking notice. Jamie Collins is a beast at the linebacker position. He's one of the top linebackers in the league. And, yeah, when the Dont'a Hightower's in it, it makes things easier for not only Jamie Collins, but the whole defense. But in games like today where, you know, Jamie Collins is really leading the way out there, you know, he really stepped up. And along with Jamie Collins, a guy that we haven't heard too much from this season but really made his presence known today, Jabal Sheard. What
yes,
a game
my guy.
He only had 3 tackles, but I tell you, 2 sacks on Osweiler. And those are the only 2 times Osweiler got sacked. It was Jabal Sheard getting backed. And I tell you, that first one he got him, one hand, grabbed Osweiler's jersey and yanked him down to the ground, showing that strength and that muscle. Jabal Sheard, you get back Dante Hightower. You got Jamie Collins up there. The front seven for the Patriots. My. Dangerous. Very dangerous indeed.
Hey, it looked pretty this week, I tell you. Now we're going to enter our segment with Tyler Trudeau. He's the CLNS radio video correspondent, youtube.com/CLNS radio. Tyler, I know this week you are feeling a lot better. The past 2 weeks you were nervous, you were a little scary. I know you couldn't take it, but I know you were relaxing. Feet up on this one.
It was a little too good to be true. It felt like I was sitting in the restaurant just like, is this really happening? Well, at first, at least we got the lead. At least they got on the board first. So at least we're up by 10 now. And then on my drive home, I'm like, I can't believe we're up 27-0. What an unbelievable game. I don't think anyone expected this. I was personally hoping that the Patriots would win, and I thought it was going to be a close game. I don't think anyone expected this. I think something really great was that 90% of Porters projected the Texans to win this game, and only 10% thought the Patriots would win. So that just shows how unbelievably underdogs this team was tonight. And to not even go out there and win the game, but shut out the Texans, a team that everyone was really riding high and having such a big hype train for Brock Osweiler, they just came out and sent a message to every team in the NFL, especially Mr. Roger Goodell.
Yeah, man, it was a solid performance all around. And, I mean, one thing I want to get your opinion on, like DJ Mies and myself were just talking about, obviously Osweiler and the Texans on offense, you know, it was a rough game for them. They got dynamic players like Hopkins and Fuller out there, but it was a rough game for them on offense. But more so, what did you really like that you saw from the Patriots defense? And Jamie Collins, the guy that we just talked about, Jabal Sheard, even the secondary, for the first time, I'd say, this season, they really stepped up and had a solid game against these very elite, you know, receivers that the Texans have. What did you really like from this defense and this performance tonight?
I really just liked how they were able to keep it going throughout the entire game. I mean, I really didn't expect anything too different in the first half. They've always been solid in the first half this season. Between the two games, if you average them together, they've given up 5 points in the first two games. Three against Miami and a touchdown against Arizona in the first week. And so I was pretty much expecting a very low-scoring first half from the Texans. But I'm just glad that they were able to keep it going. And even at the end of the fourth quarter, you can kind of see the Texans' offense and defense kind of giving up, while the Patriots' defense was getting extremely, even more hungry to shut out this team. You could see that they were energized, and they wanted this shutout. They wanted this win, and they wanted this shutout. And another thing that I loved on the defensive side was really their special teams. The special teams' defense really won them this game, giving them great field possession on the two fumbles on the kickoffs. That's what has always made the Patriots great over the seasons, is that they're always able to capitalize on their special teams, whether that's a big return or getting forced turnovers. But something crazy about tonight's game is that the Texans actually got more yards than the Patriots did. And just an extremely interesting stat that I would actually really like to research and find out. When is the last time the Patriots won a game and didn't throw the ball more than 20 times? Brissett only threw 19 times tonight, and they were still able to come ahead. And I know a lot of people are giving Blunt a hard time, but he played great. And I think he's only going to get better, especially when Deion Lewis returns, because we're going to be able to use him more sparingly. He is not a fun person to tackle, and being able to go with Blunt and Lewis back-to-back, that's going to be a nightmare for defenses in the future. So I know I kind of got off track there with starting on Patriots defense and ending all the way on offense, but just an extremely solid performance from every single aspect of the Patriots team tonight.
I love how you spoke on the special teams and how they caused the first two turnovers for our first touchdowns, which gave us, you know, short yardage to work with, which is another reason why we didn't have to use so much offense and, you know, throw for so many downs because we had short fields most of the time due to our special teams working hard. And we always find a way, it seems like, whether it's special teams, offense or defense, we exploit one of those areas and take advantage. And this week was the special teams, man. Houston really, really struggled. And just it's embarrassing. Like Mike Nice was saying earlier, how you're facing a third-string quarterback and they come out this flat or they seem intimidated by the New England Patriots.
Oh, it is just completely embarrassing, especially with a defensive front of Clowney, Will Fork, and J.J. Watt. You heard Will Fork's name the most, and that's probably because he was a Patriot once, but J.J. Watt and Clowney were just absolutely no names. You could never really even hear about them. I think I heard J.J. Watt's name once on the broadcast, and besides that, maybe one time just because Bill O'Brien was yelling at his defense because they just seemed like they gave up. This is an embarrassing loss for a team that was honestly looking like it could win the South Division again, and they barely skated by last year winning, and now they thought they had this great quarterback, and Osweiler laid an egg tonight and threw that interception to Collins, which was an amazing play by the Pats defense again. But this is going to be a tough game to bounce back from. I'm not 100% sure who they have on the schedule next. I think it's the Dolphins, but they really need to bounce back to be able to save their season because it's going to be hard to come back being shut out by a team with a third-string quarterback. I know he has nothing to do with the defensive side of the ball, but just an embarrassing loss from the Texans.
And I know the score was 27-0, but while watching this game, I was telling Mike Knight, if this was Garoppolo or Brady, the score would have been much worse. There were times, you know,
in the 40s, easily.
Especially that first half, they would have got torched 21-0 in the first quarter, the way the ball was moving. You know, Jacoby, they were limiting him, and he did miss a couple key throws. So if this was Garoppolo or Brady, my goodness, it just makes you think how crazy this offense is going to be.
It really is, and I mean, my only complaint of the night was I decided to start Gronk when I found out that he was going to play today. He only got targeted once. The person I was playing on his team,
man,
so that's going to be a little tough to recover from. There goes my undefeated season. But, you know, all in all, an amazing game, and no Brady, no Garoppolo, barely any Gronk. This team just absolutely shocked the entire football world tonight.
Absolutely, man. It was a beautiful game. You can't be mad at it. Like I told DJ Mees, like I told our guy Michael Longy, I was skeptical about that first game against Arizona. But those next three games, I figured the Patriots would, you know, take care of business. I didn't think that Jacoby Brissett would be the quarterback, but I'm not surprised the Patriots are handling business at home.
No, yep. Not at all. They are dominant at home. And just another amazing stat was they didn't get the ball until I believe about there was 10 minutes gone on the third quarter in the second half. They didn't get the ball because of a turnover and because of long Patriots drives. But they didn't get the ball until about 5 minutes left in the third, and they didn't even reach the Patriots side of the field until 43 snaps into the game into the third quarter. So just an absolute domination on the home field, and you could tell that they were feeding off the energy from the fans, and the fans loved it.
Part of me just feels bad. I feel sorry for the Texans. That's an innuendo, by the way. I do feel sorry for the Texans. Well, we want to thank you, Tyler, for coming out here, man. We'll hear from you next week when we face off the Bills. I know you're feeling good about this win.
Oh, they're going 4-0. You can just tell. I said it week one. They're definitely going to be able to do it.
Yeah, I didn't see it happening, but it's
thanks a lot, man. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me. Have a great night.
You as well. That's Tyler Trudeau, our CLNS radio video correspondent. Follow him on Twitter at CLNS_Tyler. Head on over to the CLNS radio YouTube channel for Tyler's pregame videos as well as his midweek report. Subscribe at youtube.com/CLNS Radio, that's youtube.com/CNS Radio, FanDuel. People, I'm calling out all you fantasy football fans. Put your skills to the test this week to win to have a chance to win cash moolah. 1 week fantasy football. Choose your contest, pick your team, and win. Contests for beginners or bigger tournaments for more experienced players. Leagues start at $1, and setting a lineup is easy. Cash prizes paid out every single week. And this week, don't miss FanDuel Sunday Million Dollar Tournament, paying out at least $1 million in prizes. Me, I haven't picked up my lineup yet, but Mike Knights, I'm telling you, I'm looking at Drew Brees. I am Team Breezy this week. They got the Atlanta, and Brees doesn't lose at home. And when they face Atlanta, it's always a lot of yards, a lot of touchdowns. I'm expecting big games by Cook and Sneed. So I'm Team Breeze this week. So you think you know fantasy football, prove it. Try FanDuel now and get up to $50 in free entries. New users who deposit will get five free entries to NFL 50-50 beginner contest valued up to $50. You'll get one free entry a week for 5 weeks. Value of free entries vary based on deposited amount. So go to FanDuel.com, click the Join Now button, and use my promo code Patriots. That's FanDuel.com, promo code Patriots. Void where prohibited. Final score, 27 New England, 0 Texans. And Mike Nice, we are 3-0. It's real. Patriots are 3-0. No Garoppolo, no Brady, and they're facing the sorry Bills next Sunday. I feel good.
Man, I just – one thing that Tyler talked about, and you asked Tyler, I just – if Tom Brady – even Jimmy Garoppolo, but I'm going to get back to the GOAT and the guy that's been our guy for the last, you know, 15 years plus, whatever the case may be. If Tom Brady was the quarterback in this game tonight against this sorry Texans team, mind you, Texans came into this game 2-0. I don't follow the Texans, so I don't even know who they beat, to be honest. But I don't know how they beat them. The team I saw tonight, I don't know how they are 2-0. But if Tom Brady was the quarterback in this game, I'm talking 40 plus, maybe 50. Sad. The Texans defense was absolutely sorry. And you get Tom Brady or Garoppolo out there with the weapons we had. Yeah, we didn't. Gronk was there, but Gronk didn't play as much. But with those weapons available, still have Bennett, you still have Edelman, you still have Amendola, you still have Hogan, you still have Mitchell. Don't forget Mitchell. Let Tom Brady be standing in the pocket, dissecting this Texans bum defense. Tom Brady's thrown for 400-plus with 4-plus touchdowns. Easy. Easy. This is a Thursday night game for the ages if Tom Brady played in this game.
Talking about if Tom Brady played this game, we still might have seen Jacoby Brissett.
Oh, yeah. They might have brought in the second string, third string. This game – Let Tom Brady – this game could have got really out of hand. Bad. I'm talking bad. Patriots have had a couple games like that over their history, especially in the Tom Brady Belichick area, where things have just gotten so out of hand. So out of hand. And I honestly believe, like, tonight could have been one of them.
One of my fears coming into this game were the two-headed monster, DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller. Mike, you know their stats? DeAndre Hopkins, 4 receptions, 56 yards, 0 touchdowns. Will Fuller, the fifth, which I just realized he is the fifth, 3 receptions, 31 yards, 0 touchdowns.
That's, yeah, man, sad.
Perfect.
Sad. And we're talking DeAndre Hopkins has been a guy the last couple of years who's been an absolute beast. He's been a beast. Unfortunately, he's been on the Texans and, you know, their quarterbacks have been kind of sorry over the last couple of seasons, whether it be Mallett or Hoyer. Now they got Osweiler. None of them three guys are just named are any good. So I feel bad for Hopkins. And now you got this dynamic player in Will Fuller, who's first couple of games he's eclipsed 100 yards. You know, you get a solid quarterback and let them stand in the pocket and do their thing with those guys at their dispense. Oh, man, they're putting up numbers. But Will Fuller, Hopkins were a non-factor. Hopkins barely did anything. He had a couple amazing catches that we saw, you know, but we got to expect that from a player like him. Will Fuller got a couple of catches in himself, but, you know, at the end of the day, looking at the big picture, those guys and just the offense in general, just no impact on this game whatsoever.
We definitely want to hear from you guys. The Blue Apron call lines are open, 929-477-2386. Get three free meals with free shipping by simply going to blueapron.com/CelticsBeat. Once again, it's 929-477-2386. I definitely want to hear, Mike, your thoughts on Jacoby Brissett, though. He looked really good out there. You know, he looked poised. Didn't look like it was his first game. He did have some missed throws here and there. But overall, for what the Patriots gave him in their playbook, Brissett looked good out there. He looked comfortable. I wish I got to see more of him. That touchdown run he had got everyone up in their seats. You know, Twitter, as they are, love to overreact. I saw a lot of Michael Vick. I saw a lot of, oh, let's trade Garoppolo, let's trade Brady. A lot of nonsense on Twitter once he got that touchdown. So everyone just calm down. It looked
Marv,
good. It looked
Marv,
good.
DJ Meese, Marv, I tell you this, man. I tell you this. Let me look at these stats here. Hold on. Give me a second here. 11, 19, you know, 103 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. You know, I saw this game tonight, and Jacoby Brissett, you know, he played against a sucky Houston team. I don't care if they was 3-0, sucky Houston team. And the Patriots, obviously, their game plan wasn't really to have him throw the ball a lot. You see a Patriots quarterback with only 19 passing attempts, that's very rare, very rare. So, obviously, the plan tonight wasn't to allow him to do too much. But as you could expect from a rookie, you know, a couple of overthrown passes, a couple of missed passes, you know, that could be expected. In all honesty, if this was Jimmy Garoppolo and this was his first season, and he was a rookie, you know, playing in the game, I'd expect the same thing. This doesn't surprise me from a rookie quarterback. But one thing I tell you is when quarterbacks sit behind Tom Brady, they sit and learn in the Belichick, you know, system, they learn a lot and they develop. There's a reason why, you know, when Tom Brady is out with his suspension, there's a reason why the Patriots are quick to say, you know what, Jimmy Garoppolo's our guy, we're going to go with him. You know why? Because Jimmy Garoppolo's been there sitting and learning and watching and taking notes behind Brady and with Belichick. So, in my opinion, Jacoby Brissett is going to do the same thing. He's going to sit and watch and learn and take notes from Brady and Belichick. He's been doing it since he got there. Yeah, Brady's not there now, but he's been there all preseason, all training camp. He's been taking notes and watching and learning from Brady and the coaching staff. So, Marv, DJ Meese, don't get me wrong, it's only been one game. Jacoby Brissett plays in one regular season game, starts the game in his young career. But I tell you this, let the phones ring. Jimmy Garoppolo, he won't be in a Patriots uniform next season.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Why hold on to Jimmy? And why hold on to Jacoby? One of them got to go. One of those guys is not going to stick around. And in my opinion, obviously, because Jimmy Garoppolo is a little seasoned. He's been around for a little bit longer. The phones are ringing for him. And from what he's shown from the first game, the second game, I know he only played the first half last game or whatnot. But from what he's shown, and like I've always been saying, once you're a Patriots backup quarterback, teams are going to be calling for you all the time. So the phones are going to be ringing. Jimmy Garoppolo, thanks for your time. But you ain't going to last around here for too much longer, my friend.
What a statement from Mike Knight. So you're telling me off of one game that you've seen from Jacoby Brissett. It was a good game. It's time to let go of Jimmy Garoppolo right now.
It's not even about, though, just the one game. It's just the fact that whoever – I don't care if his name is Jacoby Brissett. I don't care if it was Joe Smoke from down the street. It don't matter. The fact of the matter is when the Patriots bring in quarterbacks, they're going to sit and learn from one of the greatest, if not the greatest quarterback of all time, and they're going to sit and learn from one of the greatest coaches, if not the greatest coach of all time. You learn in that system. The Patriots are such an elite team in the NFL. It's crazy to think of how elite the Patriots are. And if you're a player that gets drafted to this organization, especially at the quarterback position, you're going to sit and learn from the greatest. There's no reason. And we all expect Tom Brady to come back this season, be good, and probably play another 2-3 years at a high level. There's no reason. You're telling me Jacoby Brissett and Jimmy Garoppolo are just going to be sitting behind them? When has Patriots ever held on to two quarterbacks, more than two quarterbacks? It's rare. Somebody's not sticking around. Somebody's not. And at me thinking right now, because Jacoby Brissett is still a rookie and Garoppolo has a couple seasons under his belt, the phones is going to be ringing. I'm talking top draft picks coming for Garoppolo.
And the more you speak of it, it makes sense. Garoppolo had his two games audition, and he looked good out there. Teams really know what they're getting out of Garoppolo. It's possible we can get a high draft pick for Garoppolo, move on forward, and start working Jacoby Brissett to be our next guy. But something that puts me back, as much as I've been thinking about, you know, this is Jimmy Garoppolo's time for auditions and everything, Patriots really like Jimmy. They really like – they drafted Jimmy to be their guy, the next up to Tom Brady when Brady retires. As good as Jacoby looked and as he can be, the future looks bright for Jacoby. I feel like the Patriots are really stuck on Jimmy Garoppolo. That's just what I see, and I have a feeling the Patriots and Garoppolo relationship.
Hey, I understand it. At the time they drafted Jimmy Garoppolo, in the Patriots' mind, as much as they probably didn't want to say it to the media and speak about it too much, but if their mind was, you know, Brady's getting older, Brady doesn't have too much time left, and we got to start thinking and planning for the future. But, you know, Brady came back with a vengeance and said, look, I'm balling, I'm winning this Super Bowl, and I don't plan on going anywhere. That's what Brady came out and did. And he hasn't shown at all, even in the preseason. I know everybody harped and didn't like the fact that, oh, Brady shouldn't be playing the preseason. He shouldn't get any snaps. Brady stepped on the field in that one preseason game and looked like he was ready to go, like it was week 10, like it was nothing to him. This dude, Brady, is going to be gunning and slinging for a couple more years. And due to that, I understand the Patriots, you know, they had a lot of high hope in Garoppolo, thinking he'd be the guy to come in and take over. But you got to think of the future. And I know when we talk future, you don't want to put Brady at 39, almost 40 years old, into that future conversation. But you got to think about the future. And what the future is saying right now is Brady still has a couple more years. Jacoby Brissett looks like he could be somebody who could be trusted moving forward. And if you want to really look about the future and get some draft picks in here who can help the team a couple of years down the road, you got to look to see what you can get for Jimmy Garoppolo. On top of all of that, one thing I've stated for a while now is the current state of quarterbacks in the NFL now. We see the development of quarterbacks in the league. We see these Russell Wilsons. We see these Cam Newtons. We see these guys who are really dual-threat quarterbacks. Not only can they stand in the pocket and make plays down the field, but nowadays you got to be able to make moves with your legs. There's only a few pocket quarterbacks left. You know, maybe Brady, maybe Carson Palmer. I want to and Breeze is a pocket quarterback. And then you got a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who is literally the bridge between those two different type of quarterbacks. Brady, Aaron Rodgers can kill you in the pocket, like a Breeze or Tom Brady, but he can easily make moves like a Russell Wilson and Cam Newton. So the NFL is kind of moving in that direction, because once Brady and Breeze are gone, that's the end of those real pocket threats. And Jacoby Brissett, we saw today, I know it's one game, But this man was out there giving okie dokes to players, getting touchdown runs. So, hey, we're talking about the future. Jacoby Brissett falls right into that category.
I knew Jacoby could, you know, do a little running out the pocket, but I didn't know he had moves like that. He actually surprised me with his speed and his elusiveness, and that's what I like to see. I want to give a quick shout-out to today's sponsors, Blue Apron and Casper. Blue Apron is a great service where they ship fresh ingredients right to your doorstep for fun-to-cook meals with or in for your family and friends. Trust me, they're delicious, and they come out to less than $10 per meal. And you get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/CelticsBeat. Also, Casper's mattress is made with latex and memory foam, and you can get to try it out for free in your first 100 days. If you don't like it, send it back. Go to casper.com/Celtics and enter promo code Celtics, and you also get $50 off your first mattress purchase. We'd love if everyone, if they had interest, would use this promo code, as it is a way to help support us here at CLNS Radio. Another person who made their debut that we haven't really even spoken about is Rob Gronkowski. He finally made his debut after the first 2 weeks hampered by a hamstring injury, and he had a stellar game with 10 catches, 2 touchdowns, 300 yards.
Who?
Gronkowski, I'm sorry, was nowhere to be found. I mean, he only played 14 snaps in the first half, 3 in the second. He was used mainly as a blocker, but it was just good to see Gronk on the field.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Gronkowski is I can't be mad at how he was used today in the game plan. I can't be mad at it at all. Would we all like to see Gronkowski do it? I mean, do what you just said, you know, 10 catches, couple touchdowns or whatnot. Of course, that's the Gronkowski we're all used to seeing. Him being a huge threat on the field in the red zone, that's what we like to see at Gronkowski. But the thing is, let's be honest, the man missed the last 2 weeks. The man hasn't been able to fully really be in practice like that. You know, he's working his way back. Even before the game, we saw him sitting on the sidelines. They had his hamstring wrapped up, heat pack, whatever, you know, on that just to help him out. So just letting them being able to suit up tonight and just get a feel of the game action, be in the stadium, you know, get on the field, be with his brothers in arms or whatnot, I think that's a good thing for Gronkowski. He got to get that feeling in the system. So I think as now the Patriots have a long layoff. We're talking they're done from today till next Sunday. That's plenty of time for Gronkowski to do all that he needs to do to get right. And in my mind, Gronkowski plays and is probably has a huge impact next game. You know, whether it's Garoppolo's back and he's playing, whether it's Jacoby Brissett back out there. Kobe and is just crazy. But yeah, whether it's Jacoby out there, whether it's Garoppolo out there. I think Garoppolo, you know, has this long layoff to, you know, really get right. You know, he has game action under his belt now for the season. He can officially say he played in the game. But, yeah, next week, you know, he gets his feet wet even more. He gets involved. And then week five, when everything's clicking on all cylinders, knees, you get Tom Brady out there with these weapons. A Gronkowski who should be healthy and ready to go, along with everybody else who hopefully stays healthy. Now we're talking about a team that's going to be putting up numbers. Because don't get me wrong, Garoppolo's been up there the first two games, and he's made great plays and whatnot. But think of all the times where Tom Brady would step out there at audible. Tom Brady up there, I'm not running this play. I'm slinging the ball down the field. That's what we're going to see. LeGarrette Blount, these 20 plus carry games. Thanks, LeGarrette for these games. But once Tom Brady's back, you're going to see those cut in half. You ain't running 20 nothing. Tom Brady's going to be back, and Edelman's going to be back to making big time plays. Gronk catching red zone touchdowns. Martellus Bennett finally going to see what it feels like to play with the GOAT, Tom Brady. It's going to be a beautiful thing to see in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. And now that we have to move on, you know, as you mentioned, they have a long layoff. They play. Next time they play will be October 2nd against the Bills. And let me tell you guys something. The Bills are very, very sorry. 0-2 right now. And they have not looked good at all. I don't know if Rex Ryan is going to be the coach by the end of the year, to be honest. The team just looks bad. And there's a high possibility now that the Patriots are really going to go 4-0 and have Brady back against the Browns.
It's not a high possibility.
It's football. Anything can happen. Anything can happen, but there is a high possibility, I'm going to keep it at that, Patriots win against the Bills 4-0 with Brady back, and we're going to all look at, Goodell. We're all going to look at Roger Goodell and say, take that!
Ha! I'm telling you, it's crazy. The Patriots could possibly, in my opinion, will go 4-0 when they face the Bills at home again. You know, at Gillette Stadium, which is a place that the Patriots rarely lose, and then you possibly get that win week 4 against the Bills. Week 5 against the Bills. You possibly get that win against the Bills next week, week 4, against the sorry Bills. You talk about the sorry Bills. There might not be a worse sorry team in this league than the Cleveland Browns.
They're just sad. It's just a sad thing to talk about.
I don't care if you're playing in Cleveland. I don't care if you're playing at Gillette Stadium. I don't care if you come knock down my fence and play in my backyard. The Patriots is going to give the Browns the business week 5. It ain't even a question about it. The Patriots might be 5-0.
Might?
The Patriots might be 5-0. We're talking DJ Mees. I'm telling you, I didn't expect it. I didn't believe it. Like I said at the start of the season, when I looked at these first 4 games, I said they're gonna lose to Arizona. They're gonna handle business in the next 3 games. Go 4-1. Now we're talking about a possible 4-0 in these first 4 games, and then you get a sorry Cleveland Browns team who themselves they went through their starting quarterback. Their backup quarterback, Josh McCown, he's hurt now. Now I think they're going to their third-string quarterback, who I don't even know what his name is. Oh, my goodness. Patriots, what a way to start the season without the GOAT himself.
I like that. Let's get that number 1 seed in the AFC. Let's not play around like we did last year. Let's not even try to play around. Let's get that number 1. Let's go for it. Brady comes back. Get Deion Lewis coming back in weeks after that. It's looking really, really good. You know, normally we would have our guy Harris Rubenstein coming in with his segment to get his take on the game. But as of right now, he's busy recording the Patriots Beat podcast for this week. So make sure you can find him at the Patriots Beat podcast on iTunes and Stitcher and on the CLNS Radio Mobile podcast app. So Mike Knife, do you know what time it is?
Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. It's that time of the show. We shout out the stars and the sorries of the game, DJ Mees.
The stars and the sorries. And let me tell you, you definitely want to be a star. This is something you go tell your mama about. You go tell your whole family, like, Mom, I just became a CLNS Star of the Week.
Yeah, man, and with this game, this blowout, this shutout of the Houston Texans, you know, we got a couple of stars that we looked at, and we have to take it to Twitter to get our listeners' opinion on who are the possible stars of the game. And wow, with an overwhelming 58% of the vote, the star of tonight's game, Patriots versus the Houston Texans, the star of the night goes to the Pats defense, who shut out the Houston Texans and did not let up a single point shout out to the Pats defense. Wow.
Yeah. Pats defense is a star. I mean, we got to give out a couple of shout outs. We got to give a shout out to Jamie Collins, played fantastic. Logan Ryan playing, running around with DeAndre Hopkins, forcing him to make incredible catches. Malcolm Butler, who didn't even allow a catch this game. You know, we didn't hear McCourty and Harmon's name. When you don't hear McCourty's name, I like that when I don't hear McCourty's name. That means he's doing his job in the backfield. I love it. The defense, Sheard came back, played well. It was great team defense overall. The pass defense definitely deserved the star of the game.
Absolutely. Another couple of guys that had to get credit for having a huge game. Definitely got a shout out, LeGarrette Blount. He had a solid game, you know, rushing for over 100 yards, 2 touchdowns. You know, a lot of people didn't expect him to come out and, you know, run easily against the Texans' tough front line. J.J. Watt, that bum. Jadeveon Clowney. Our old friend Vince Wilfork. You know, a lot of people that expect LeGarrette Blount to come out and have a solid game as he did. But got to give him credit. And on top of that, Jacoby Brissett, you know, stepping up, a rookie quarterback. The first rookie quarterback for the New England Patriots since 1993 when Drew Brees stepped up. And on top of that, he's also the first African-American quarterback in New England Patriots history to start a game. So you got to give this man a lot of credit for getting a win in his first game as a rookie.
Definitely all deserving of the star of the game. But, Mike, when does the good...
There is the bad.
Yep, and when you're bad, we tell you,
sorry.
Yeepy, yeepy. And this one, this one's easy. This one was real easy.
This is easy. It's definitely easy. I mean, you could really go around and name a couple of different players who just look sorry today. J.J. Watt, one of them especially. You know, I won't harp on him too much. But all in all, DJ Mees, the sorry of the game has to go to the whole Houston Texans team.
Yeah.
Straight hot garbage. Terrible. Not to score a single point. I understand you're going against the New England Patriots. I understand, you know, you get a little scared. You might poo-poo doodle in your pants a little bit because you're facing the New England Patriots at Gillette Stadium. But to come here and not score a single point, especially when you got your defense going up against a rookie quarterback, you don't even put up a point. You can't even, you know, sack him a couple times, maybe force him. Nothing at all. You just come here and straight goose egg. Houston Texans, sorry.
Sorry. I'm talking about, I'm hearing during the week, Bill O'Brien didn't even sleep at his house. He fell asleep in the stadium. Just preparing for the pick. What was he preparing for? What was he doing? That they couldn't score a point.
He's preparing because I heard that Patriots Place was hiring a couple of bars and the movie theater there. They're hiring. They're looking for new cashiers and ushers to cut tickets. That's what he's preparing for.
I looked at Vince Wilfork on the bench, and I felt so bad for him. I just saw him. You can just tell, like, man, I used to be on the other side of this feeling. Now look at me with this sorry of the game award. Oh,
sad.
What am I going to do?
Sad. I mean, like I said from the jump, Houston Texans got to be highly disappointed in themselves to come here and put on this performance. A lot of people, you know, if you watch ESPN, if you look all over the place, a lot of analysts and whatnot did not have the Patriots winning this game. They figured, you know, third string quarterback, you know, Houston's coming into this game, one of the few undefeated teams in the league. A lot of people felt that Houston Texans was going to come to New England, come to Gillette Stadium, and get it done. But, man, goose egg, Houston Texans, time to go rethink everything because this was a pitiful, pitiful, sorry performance indeed.
Sorry, indeed. We got a caller from Long Island, Jesse. What do you have for us, Jesse?
Hey, what's good, man?
What's going on, Jesse?
I got the Giants taking it all the way this year.
The wow. Giants.
Wow.
The Let's Giants.
Go. You started off on 2-0, right? You started off
2-0. You guys limped to a 2-0, but I want to hear your reasoning.
There's no reasoning. There's no reason behind rhythm. Well, let me tell you my reasoning. 2 years ago when we won the Super Bowl, we were 8-8, bro, going into it. Do you remember that?
I do remember. Yes, I do remember when the Giants won the Super Bowl. I try not to think about
what
it.
What was the record? 8-8.
Okay, understand.
You remember
that? Let me talk to you, my friend. Let me talk to you. You guys barely beat the Cowboys. You guys won 20-19 with Dak Prescott. Then the Saints, you squeaked by the Saints because your defense has gotten a little better. But the NFC is no walk in the park. You got to go through the Vikings, which I think are going to be hard to beat. You have the Packers there. San Francisco crazily got better. You have the Lions. You got the Seahawks. I don't see Giants getting anywhere close to the Super Bowl at all, my friend.
All right, but you would have said the same thing 3 years ago, right?
I don't think so. But I appreciate the call and your intake as a Giants fan. I personally hope not to see them there, but you never know what could happen because the Giants do like to squeak things through with their 8-8 record, like you said. So thank you for the call, Jesse.
Thanks a lot, man. This guy got a lot. I can't be mad at him for being and want to root for his home team and whatnot. I just say, wish you luck, Giants. But personally, wish y'all don't win a damn thing.
I don't. I'm not worried about no damn Giants. I tell you that much.
Hey man, that's crazy. That's crazy. But you can't be mad for the guy for rooting for his home team. You got to root for his team. I can't be mad at that.
I hear that. Michael Longy, who's working on Switchboard. Do you have any last thoughts on next week's game against the Buffalo Bills? Is there anything for us to worry about?
Honestly, guys, I don't really think so. I mean, seeing the way that they played today, Buffalo's defense is not as good as Houston's defense. I think we can all agree on that. And their offense can't get anything done. So, I mean, I don't see much of a difference. I thought it would probably be more likely that New England would be able to shut out Buffalo than it would be that they could shut out Houston. Yeah. And they shut out Houston tonight. So, I mean, I'm probably picturing something around the same. I'd say maybe a 24-6, a 24-7 win next week. I think it's going to be another blowout.
Yeah, I can't be mad at that at all. If I was to say the same thing like you, Michael Longy, I figure that, you know, the Patriots have more success in possibly shutting out the Buffalo Bills instead of the Houston Texans. Like you said, in leading up to this game, Houston Texans are one of the few undefeated teams left in the league. I mean, I know it's only 2-0, but the Houston Texans were supposed to be a threat, and they came to New England and got shut out. So next week against a sorry Buffalo Bills team, I'm looking at another, you know, 24-3.
Okay, guys. This is what I think. Rex Ryan's going to get his team ready for this game next Sunday. I've seen Rex Ryan have some sucky Jets teams, but somehow, some way, we find ourselves with close games with Rex Ryan. He just knows the Patriots that well. I don't think it's going to be a walk in the park. I don't see us blowing them out. I think this game is going to go somewhere around the 21-13, 21-10 area where we score later in the second half. The first half will be a battle. I just think Rex Ryan he finds a way to amp up his teams against the Patriots just because he has so much hate against them. And it will be a lot closer than we think it will be.
We'll see, man. I mean, like you said, you know, Rex Ryan always – you know, this next week leading up to that game is going to be interesting because Rex Ryan in the media and his press conferences and whatnot, he always has some interesting stuff to say against the Patriots and Bill Belichick. So it's going to be a lot of entertainment there. And, you know, we'll see come game time next Sunday if he can really get him and his brother can really get the team ready to face this hot New England Patriots team.
Definitely. With that, the final score,
Patriots 27, Houston Texans 0, a blowout. Jacoby Brissett's starting debut looked pretty good out there. Defense shut out the Texans, and overall, it's just a great night to be a New England Patriots fan. So, with that, this post-game show will be available for on-demand download by searching for the CLNS Radio New England Patriots post-game show on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app. When you download our feed, you'll also get the Patriots News Feed podcast, our daily news podcast hosted by our content manager, Michael Longy. While you're at it, make sure you check out the Patriots Beat podcast hosted by Harris Rubenstein, which is also available on iTunes, Stitcher, and the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app. And you can also check out Tyler Trudeau's Patriots pregame show video segments at youtube.com/CLNS Radio before every Patriots game. Today's show was brought to you by FanDuel. FanDuel.com/Patriots to join our league. Casper Mattresses, www.casper.com/Celtics for $50 off any mattress purchase, and Blue Apron, blueapron.com/CelticsBeat for 3 free meals and free shipping. And lastly, MyBookie, mybookie.ag, promo code PATS. Want to thank the callers today and everybody who tuned in for CLNS Radio Executive Producer Larry H. Russell, Patriots Content Manager Michael Longy, my co-host Mike Nice. I'm Marvin Azan. See everyone here back next Sunday when the Patriots take on the Buffalo Bills.
Good night, sir. Everyone. Yes, sir. And this has been the Patriots post-game show, sponsored and powered by CLNS Radio, the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for all New England professional sports. See you guys next Sunday.